Well, God drew my attention to this particular chapter in His Word, and it's in the book of Romans. And this chapter really fascinated me because I looked at it in different versions and what have you. And it's Romans chapter 5. If you're not familiar with it, we're going to get familiar with it. But I will say this. Tonight we're going to do what I'm calling part 1. Because there's a lot of stuff here. So we're just going to do part 1 for tonight and see about doing part 2 later. So the title is simply Romans 5. The subtitle would be The Benefits of Being Justified Through Faith/Believing. There's a quotation that Martin Luther made about this particular chapter specifically. And Martin Luther has said, in the whole Bible, there is hardly another chapter which can equal this triumphant text. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like I was listening to what Martin Luther said, but I came across it when I was doing my study and work on this, and it really blessed me to see that. Now, for starters, letter A, we're going to say the benefits of believing. Okay, these are the benefits of believing. And for this, we're going to start out, obviously, in Romans chapter 5, but verses 1 and 2. So you can turn there. This is probably the only section that I'm going to read in the King James. The rest I'm going to do in one of my favorites, which most of you know is the NLT. And the NLT just brings it to contemporary English that we are very familiar with today. And it opens it up a little bit, too. Nothing wrong with the King James. I was raised on that. And that's the standard that I draw to. So, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, Paul, a servant, let me go to 5:1, yeah. Okay, here we go. Therefore, put on the brakes. What do we say about when something starts off saying therefore? Anybody?
Why for
therefore, right? So to get the why for of this therefore, I ask you to go back to chapter 4, and we're going to pick up the why for therefore in verse 20. We'll pick it up from there. This is Abraham speaking, okay? And Abraham says, it says about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith or believing, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able also to perform. That's what we need to do when we have our believing kicked into, not even high gear, just kicked into gear, is be fully persuaded that God can come through for us. We don't ever approach God with a prayer or a request saying, well, I wonder if this is not going to be too complicated or am I asking too much and stuff. Talk to God. He's the one who's going to determine all that stuff. So I like what it says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, and it is to us. Okay? God loves faithful hearts, and God loves hearts that say, Father, I know you can do this. You are the God of what's possible. 23. That was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also. For us also, to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. In verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So now we can go and start 5 knowing this. Therefore, being justified by faith or believing, we have peace with God. Who doesn't want peace with God? Mm-hmm. Well, one God is set with me. through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. So, here in verse 1, one of the first benefits of believing is peace. Okay? That's one. And the second two are here in verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That's another one. Wherein we stand. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So, again, we've got believing, peace, and standing of grace. We will see these three in verse 2 that we just saw unfold here in a minute. So we're justified by faith, speaks of a legal decree, and we're going to see that. It speaks of a legal decree. And for this, please go to Romans chapter 1. And when you get to Romans chapter 1, drop down to verse 18, please. Romans 1:18 says, "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." 19. "They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them and to us." Now, go over to chapter 2 here in Romans. And let's look at 2:1. "You may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad, and you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself, for you who judge others do these very same things." Verse 3. "Since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same thing?" So we always say it's easy to point the finger, but you got to do it in the mirror, right? And then go down to verse 7, please. And it says, "He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and the honor and immortality that God offers. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness." Verse 9. "There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile." And then drop down to verse 11. This one you all know. The NLT puts it this way: "For God does not show favoritism." The King James, remember, says, "For there is no respect of persons with God." He doesn't look at your outside, he looks at your inside, specifically our heart. "But now, because of what Jesus did, the righteousness of God is given to all who believe. His guilty sentence is transformed into a sentence of justified and justified by faith." Okay, letter B. Peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first benefit because the price is paid in full by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So then, God's justice towards us is eternally satisfied. God's justice towards us is eternally satisfied. This is not the peace of God that's spoken in other places in God's Word, but this is the peace with God. The peace with God. Our battle with old man's ways against the new man in Christ is over. It's simply over. God wins, and he's winning us. God wins, and he's winning us. Right? This peace can only come through our Lord, Jesus Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Say something else. Ephesians 2. Yeah, God's prize for our faith and sin is us. And my gosh, here I am, Lord. I belong to you, I'm all yours. Ephesians 2:14. "For Christ himself has brought peace to us, Jews and Gentiles, into one people, when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us." We're all the same. We're children of God. There aren't. You got to do this for your way. No. God, God, God. And that's what he wants. He doesn't need to wear a certain garment or light 7 candles or what have you. He just wants to hear from you and know that you're willing and able because of the Christ in us, huh? Now, the Bible doesn't say have peace with Satan. It doesn't say have peace with the world. I'll show you something. Go to the Gospel of John. And then go to John 14. Then verse 27. John 14, 27, this is Jesus Christ speaking. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind. Do we not have peace of mind knowing that Jesus Christ did what he did? I wouldn't want him to do that. But he was doing his Father's will, not his own. And what does that leave us with? Peace, great peace in the heart. What's so hard about life, you know? We're waiting, doing his will for his return. Can you imagine what kind of ride that's going to be to eternity? If there was a bus, it's saying the label boy and stuff, to be eternity. So that's me. No tokens needed, because he's already given us all that. So, what was I? With a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Like I was kind of alluding to a minute ago. But we have this great peace that there's nothing that can get us and pull us back from God. We're the ones who step out with believing hearts, with confidence, with trust, and pray to put many, many ways. But the bottom line is saying, Father, I belong to you. What do you want me to do for you? I know you're going to take care of me. You know, before I ask, you still ask, but Father, what do you want me to do? Pray for someone? Minister to someone? Visit someone? Call someone? Whatever the case may be. When God is telling you, trust me, and I know you do, that God is telling you, you're going to know. You'll know. You'll know. You know what? Don't sit back and say, yeah, I should do this. Do it. Do it. Something as simple as a phone call can bless people. Today again, I had a business call on the phone, and I almost forgot my question at the end. Oh, Mandy, is there anything I can pray for? And sometimes my mind, my practice mind says, oh, they're going to say no. And she goes, yes, my health. You got it. And when I finished praying, the last words that came out of her mouth were, God bless you. She said, you got it. You got it. So, anyway, that's John 14, 27. And, The other peace we don't have is with the flesh. The Bible doesn't say we have peace with the flesh, or to have peace with the flesh. Or peace with sin. We're not to do that. It's not something that God tells us. Life is still a battle. We know that. For the believer. But we know and believe that the battle has been won. Amen? Amen. Okay, letter C. This grace in which we stand. This is another benefit. We have a standing in this grace of God, in God's unmerited favor. There's so many things that we don't deserve, but because God is so gracious and he gives us something to stand on, we get it anyway. You know? So don't ever beat yourself up. You're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes probably every day. But I don't focus on them. What I focus on is say to God, forgive me, Father. You know that's not what I want to do. But still yet, I have the peace in my heart, knowing that, like, growing up with my parents, if I made a boo-boo, sometimes they would say, it's okay. Other times, we'd be like this for a day or two. So. But not with God. Not with God. We know how he forgets about all that stuff. There are those Christians who begin in grace, but then they think they have an accord with God on the principle of the law. And when I say that, I'm talking about working for something. You know, if I do this, or if I do that, I'll be back on the good side of God. God only has one side, and it's good. On the ideas of earning or deserving, like I said, let's look at Galatians chapter 3, please. And go to verse 2 and 3. Galatians 3, 2 and 3. Bless those of you who called in. I hope you're receiving this loud and clear. We love you. Galatians 3:2 says, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. Verse 3. How foolish can you be after starting your Christian life in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human efforts? You can't. I don't care how much that vein in your neck picked up. You just can't. You just can't. Same book of Galatians, go to chapter 5, please. Galatians 5, 1. So then, so Christ has truly set us free, period. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get caught and tied up again in the slavery to the law. Listen. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation, the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. Verse 5, but we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith, by believing, the righteousness God has promised to us. It's simple as that. Okay, now we've got a standing that we saw in 5:1 and 2 there of Romans. A standing in grace reassures us God's attitude towards the believer in Christ Jesus is one of favor. We've seen that. Seeing us in terms of joy, beauty, and pleasure. That's what it does to God. Okay? He loves us because we are in Christ Jesus. We always say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God loves that. His deposit is sound, you know? And what Christ went through has made that available. So no matter where you go, don't worry. It's not like packing clothes to go somewhere. You're not going to forget that. Christ is coming with you. And he's waterproof, too, so you can go swimming. But it's just something that, another thing that brings us peace in our heart, knowing that. We don't have to prove we are worthy of God's love because we're not. Being honest, we're not. But he loves us anyway. He loves us anyway. The door of access is permanently open to him, God Almighty. He doesn't have to have one of those screens that when you open it and it closes, it's wide open. It's wide open. And it's something that we need to take full advantage of. So then, we are free from the score sheet. The account is settled in Jesus Christ. Okay? We can spend more time praising God and less time with the trouble of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, again, thank you for opening up this chapter, Father, that I can share it with my brothers and sisters, and we can all read it on our own time. But Father, the glory is yours because of what you do, Father, and also the help we get from you so that we can do what you would have us to do, not getting hung up by things that you call your word the law. You can never work or do something to earn that. You've given it to us already, Father, to help us to realize that more and more in our walk with you and to share it with others after we share it with ourselves. So I pray this prayer and thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.